He's pre-programmed me as far as this service is concerned, and you've been warned, so we're going to do it. Everybody and their brother's been dogging me to hear Drama Queen because it's not recorded yet. If you are a visitor, this is not normal music in this church, and I'm not a normal person in this church. So just to kind of give that helpful hint. But here's how it goes. You teens, you got to help me, okay? Throughout the pages of history, kings and queens have ruled, some with royal dignity and others merely fools. But there's a queen today sitting on her throne like history's never seen. You know her best as, say with me please, the Drama Queen. She goes, what? Whatever. Like, does this make me look fat? I'll never leave the house again if you make me put on that. The whole world's against me, and no one understands. Learn from the kids. Here we go. Yeah, that's her. The Drama Queen. One more time. Well, the queen must be really smart, because she says she's always right. And let it be you disagree, the queen gets real uptight. Because the whole world's a trauma drama when the queen doesn't get her way. Oh, you know who I'm talking about. The Drama Queen. Help us, adults. She goes, what? Whatever. Like, does this make me look fat? I'll never leave the house again if you make me put on that. The whole world's against me and no one understands. Come on, Drama Queen. Yeah, that's her. You guys are a little loud, okay? Well, the girl's a natural born leader. She tells everybody what to do. You're not smart enough to get out of her way, she'll straighten your act out too. Because the whole world's a trauma drama when the queen doesn't get her way. Oh, you know who I'm talking about. Stay with me. The Drama Queen. Last time, she goes, what? Whatever. What does this make me look fat? I'll never leave the house again if you make me put on that. The whole world's against me and no one understands. Yeah, that's her. Or him. That's her. The Drama Queen. Beware, my friend, of the Drama Queen. You put a hand, there you go. I'm going to do more. Stay seated, please. I'm not done. Stay down. Sit down. Sit down. Sit down, Pastor. I'm on a roll. I'm going to go another one while I got them hot and ready to go. We also did during Junior Chapel, and I taught some of these to the high schoolers, too. I did some of the patch type songs that I've written over the years, and I'm going to do about two or three of them here. And the first one involves the principle of when you're talking to someone, you look them in the eye. So it's an echo song. You're going to catch on real quick. So this is everybody helping me, okay? Get your thumb, even Jay. Jay, get your arm from around your wife so you don't break her neck here. And get your thumbs ready and repeat after Mr. Maynor. Are we ready? Here we go. Raise up your chin. See, repeat means you say what I say, okay? So you're a little slow on that. We are awful high in the altitude here. Okay, let's do it again. Raise up your chin.
Raise up your chin.
Look me in the eye.
Look me in the eye.
When our talk begins.
When our talk begins.
Look me in the eye.
Look
Let's
me
do
in
it
the
again.
Eye.
Raise up your chin.
Raise up your chin.
Look me in the eye.
Look me in the eye.
When our talk begins.
When our talk
Look me in the eye.
Look me in the eye.
If you're looking at your hands.
If you're looking at your hands.
Staring at your knees.
Staring at your knees.
Looking all around.
You're not looking at me.
Raise up your chin.
Raise up your chin.
Well, look me in the eye.
Well, look me in the eye.
When I talk again.
Look me in the eye.
If you want to be polite.
And do what's right.
Well, give it a try.
Look me in the eye.
Raise up your chin.
Raise up your chin.
Look me in the eye.
Look me in the eye.
When our talk begins.
When our talk begins.
Look me in the eye.
Look me in the eye.
Look at my left eye.
Look at my right eye.
Look at
Give yourself a hand. You did that. Now, I'm helping these teens because these kids are needing this just as much as older, young, and even us teenagers with wrinkles, okay? This one is a song, if you're not thinking right, you're not going to do what's right. And I taught this to both age groups in the course. You guys help me with this on the course. Ready? Get your fingers up like this time. Let me teach this to you. I need to think on the Word. Help me, teens. I need to think on the Word of God. I need to think on the Word of God. When I'm thinking right, I can do what's right. I need to think on the Word of God. Then we all do this. Ding, ding, ding. Ding, 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 ding. You want to hear some manly ding, dings? Go, guys. Yeah, see, you can go anyway. You know, however it really rocks your boat and floats your banana, whatever floats your banana, rock, something like that. Okay, so let's all try it together. Get your fingers up. Here we go. Everybody's embarrassed together, so let's do it. Ready? I need to think on the Word of God. I need to think on the Word. Tell me why. When I'm thinking right, I can do what's right. I need to think on the Word of God. Think together. Ding, ding, ding. Good. Here's how the verses go. I didn't teach them these, but it's just a kid's song, so here's how it goes. My head gets full of all kinds of things, just the things a normal day brings. One thing I just can't afford. Help me, teens. Ready? Let me hear it. If I stop thinking about the Lord. Ding, ding, together, folks. Ding, ding, ding. I need to think on the Word of God. I need to think on the Word. Preach to me. When I'm thinking right, I can do what's right. I need to think on the Word of God. Here we go. Ding, ding, ding. Mr. Soundman, you're not dinking with us. So I know you're busy. I know you're hard to multitask. I know we've worked with you, and I know it's still difficult. Here's the second verse. I can think about Ruff, the family dog. Think about my little pet frog. One thing I just can't afford. Help me, folks. If I stop thinking about the Lord together. Ding, ding, ding. I need to think on the Word of God. I need to think on the Word of God. Preach to me. When I'm thinking right, I can do what's right. I need to think. Do it again. Think. One more time. Think on the Word of God. Ding, ding, ding. Give yourself a hand. Good job. Very nicely done. One more! Now, if there's a song I've written for Fats the Pirate that's as well-known as any of them, it's this song, Liar, Liar. And the kids kind of like this one, to say the least. But we use the phrase, liar, liar, pants on fire, hanging from a telephone wire. And I just have to put actions to it, because that's what teachers cry for. So it goes like this. It goes, liar, liar. Show me, folks.
Liar, liar, liar.
Pants on fire. Hanging from a telephone wire.
Never tell a lie.
Let me finish this. This is a long one. Always tell the truth, and nothing but the truth. Always tell the truth. Find your heart wherever it is and go with me here. Ready? The truth, and nothing but the truth. Always tell the truth. Now, popular in culture today through lawyers, through politicians, they dub lying okay. But God, and car dealers, but you know what? God still says He hates it and it's sin, and don't go there and do that. So when you're saved, there'll be what's called conviction in your life. If you're in sin, no conviction, you better be checking out your true conversion to see if you really know Jesus as personal Savior, because it's supposed to bother you when you go contrary to what the Bible says. But to show conviction, put your hand up like this and go ding. A little louder ding would help, okay? Ready? Ding, 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 ding. Five dings. Have you got it, people? It's another echo song, so repeat after Uncle Mike here. Here we go. When you're tempted to tell a lie, and your brain says, let her fly, before you even start, This alarm should go off in your heart.
Here we go, ready? Ding, 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 ding. Together, liar, liar, pants on fire, hanging from a telephone wire.
Never tell a lie. Always tell the truth, and nothing but the truth. Always tell the truth. Here's the second one. It may be a little white lie.
Or even a big old whopper.
Before you try to stop her. This alarm should go off in your heart. Good, here we go.
Ding, 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 ding. Together. Liar, liar, pants on fire, hanging from a telephone wire.
Never tell a lie. Always tell the truth, and nothing but the truth. Always tell the truth.
Now keep your hand up like this. Keep your hand up like this. What we did in the junior chapel. Turn your palm slightly like this. Take your other hand like this. Turn to the person next to you and go, bravo, marvelous job. Outstanding music. Very nicely done. Go for it. Follow that. Okay.
We can keep going. I have about 30 more.
All right, no more hand motions.
Okay. Pastor's exhausted. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
395. We're going to go ahead and get started with our regular type of service. Thank you for participating. I hope that you did. 395, standing on the promises. You cannot see this, sitting down. Standing on the promises. 395, ready?
Thank you.
the last night of our meeting, so we'll let you know. We've got a few minutes to reach back there into your back pocket or into your purse. We're about ready to take up an offering for our evangelist. We told you early in the week we were going to do that. I think I forgot to mention it last night. But we want to take good care of him. He's been a blessing to us, and we want to make sure that we're a blessing to him. This is how he makes his living, and so we want to do everything we can to help support him as he goes about doing this in other churches and other places as well. And a couple other things. One other thing is that we have the shepherding groups this Sunday. Those of you who are members of Mountain View Bible Church, if you have not checked in with your elders, I can assure you that the elders' wives are wondering who's bringing what for the potluck dinner. So let them know if you're planning on coming and how many will be in your group and what you're planning to bring to help with the meal. So let them know and be in touch with them. You should be hearing from them in the next day or so. And then I need about four guys, maybe five or six at the most. We got a family that needs to move this weekend, and we got to do it really kind of quick. We're going to get a truck, and we're going to just kind of do it, try to do it as fast as we can in a couple hours. If you are interested in helping with that, you'd be willing to do that. You could use teenage guys, you know, whatever. Let me know as soon as possible, because we got to get the team put together as to who's doing it. I'm hoping that we can do it early, about 8 o'clock in the morning, be done early, done way before noon. That's just one trip. You get a truck, load it up in Troy, take it over to Jaffrey, help these people get it in the house, and then we'll let them settle in from there. But if you could help with that, that would be a real blessing to a family that has a real need, opportunity to minister. Okay, I think that's all the announcements that we have, and just glad you're here. Thank you for coming. I know some of you are here because you have to be here, but I'm glad that you're here anyway. Hope that you get a blessing out of the service tonight. Ask the ushers to come forward, and we'll take up this offering for our evangelists tonight. Be as generous as you're able. Dan, would you pray for us, please, sir?
Yeah, Father, we just thank you so much for this evening. Thank you for your word.
Well, thank you, folks, for ministering to my heart through song. It's really fun to be up here to the front and hear your joyous singing and praise unto God. And it's really a ministry to my heart, and I'm sure it's also an encouragement unto you. I know some of you can't carry a tune in a bucket, but nonetheless, it was covered up by the joyous, melodious music of the rest of the crowd. So just let her fly. Have a good, joyous, worshipful time when you get an opportunity to praise God such as that. It would have been a blessing. It's always fun when I come here. I always enjoy my fellowship and time, and I appreciated your fellowship and just the orderliness of this church. It's just really a blessing and encouragement to my pea-picking heart, but I wouldn't want it any other way. A lot of folks ask, well, where are you going next? Well, I leave from here and I go down to Blue Ridge, Virginia. It's down right down Roanoke, and I'll do a very unusual youth rally, actually a church-wide group rally. I'll do three different opportunities of presenting the gospel. 500-700 people down there at that Saturday meeting. Then I'll preach in their church all day Sunday. And then I head for home. So I'm about 4.5-5 hours from Greenville. So I'll head on out after I get done. Go home and smooch on my wife a little bit. And then hopefully we're going to take off by the end of the week and go up to Columbus, Ohio. And I do a couples retreat there south of Columbus. And then I do revivals all the way up till Thanksgiving. And it's pretty much in the Midwest. But a busy time. If you like to keep track of what we do, and sometimes it doesn't come up. I don't know what the difference is on different computers, but at MikeMannerMusic.com, my schedule, I try to keep that up to date and current as far as things that are happening. And I appreciate your prayers. Now, you can send me $20,000 too. That wouldn't bother me at all. But you know, I really appreciate your prayers and your encouragement and just being a part of what God's called us to do, because I treasure it. You know, I know I'm heading to the end of the tunnel, folks, and I'm getting older, and I want to stay faithful and strong and do as much as I can till Jesus says, go be a greeter at Walmart. I say, that's really my burden of heart. So pray for me that I, you know, stay by the stud and not mess it up. I've got an iPad, I've got an iPhone, I've got a Mac, and I've got an iron, I've got all kinds of I things. And, you know, I have on my widget. Does anybody know what a widget is? You all know what a widget is? I got a little note card widget, and on that it says, don't do something stupid. Isn't that a wonderful reminder for all of us in this old weak, rotten flesh we're part in? But I don't want to mess up. I've had too many friends do that, even in their latter stage of ministry. Guys in their 70s, in their 80s, just so foolishly following what the flesh wants to do. And I want to finish strong like Paul. Fight, finish, faithful. That's the testimony that I long for. But I tell you, my flesh battles me just like it does you. So thank you for your kindness. Thank you for the offering. Again, pray for us as much as it comes to mind. If that's once a year, I'll take it. But again, I'm thankful for the time we're together. Let's go have a word of prayer. Now, I'm going to give you some sports trivia to start out with, so you sports folks will just love me to death. So let's bow our heads and hearts, and then we'll dive into tonight's message. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you, Lord, for a glorious day. Lord, I love being with teenagers. They were just such a blessing and joy to my heart. And God, I believe you did a good work in these young people's hearts. And Lord, I pray they'll continue on with the truths that were entrusted to them in the morning as well as here at night. And Lord, for these adults, what a great group of people to make a great impact for all eternity in this area. Lord, I don't think it's impossible to come back in a few years and see this place full from the front to the back. I believe you're able, if folks are just willing, to go forward sacrificially to impact this area for you. And God, I know that's what you're looking to have set forth and settled as far as this ministry is concerned. God, keep the devil out of this place. God, I pray the flesh will again be just put under the controlling hand of Almighty God, and the power and working of Jesus Christ will be so evident in this place that, oh God, people say that is a place that worships and honors God. So, Lord, thank you again for your goodness to us all week long, and Lord, you're going to pour it out even tonight, and we thank you for it. Help us, God, to be careful to listen to what you know we need so we can respond in obedience to your leading. We praise you, God, and thank you now, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, this is not a Boston player, so you may not know the answer to this question, but does anybody know who a guy by the name of Oral Hershiser is? He's an old has-been baseball player. Now, Oral Hershiser, what position did he play? Talk to me. Pitcher. Was he one mean baseball player? This guy, he wasn't a power pitcher, but he had one nasty, slider and just an unthink out of your shoes curveball. This guy was just amazing in his control pitching. Well, back in 1995, he was voted MVP in the World Series, and he was playing for the Dodgers. And just like they do today, you know, some sports accomplishment happens. They want that, celebrity to come to some late night talk show. And probably the prime pick and place of opportunity for them would be the Tonight Show. Now, back in this era, in the 80s and 90s where he pitched, you know, Johnny Carson was the king of late night. And he was on the Johnny Carson Show. And Johnny already knew what he wanted to ask this pitcher. And it wasn't about his stats or anything. It's something that happened during the World Series. Does anybody remember this? This was very much the buzz of conversation. Oral, in between, who would call their kid Oral? Are y'all with me here? I guess that's cruel in and of itself. That's my personal opinion. If that's yours, we'll pray for you. Okay, so what happened during the World Series, he was caught on camera leaning against the dugout wall talking to himself. And man, everybody wondered, what in the world was he talking about? So first question after hello and how are you was this. What were you doing and what were you talking about leaning up against the dugout wall? And very sheepishly he said, well, I wasn't talking. Well, what were you doing? I was singing. And the crowd's going, sing, sing, sing. You know, it's about to explode. They're wanting him to sing the song. And very, very, very sheepishly he stepped up and sang this song. Praise God from praise God from whom all blessings flow. And he went through the doxology on the Tonight Show. To God be the glory. You know? And the crowd's like this. Yeah! You know, they're stunned. I mean, you could have heard a pin drop. Johnny Carson's jaw hit his desk. And then one guy. Crowd erupts in applause. And again, what brought that about? A testimony of God's goodness. Because Oral Hershiser, one of the greatest pitchers of all time, he understood why he was a good pitcher. Why he was an MVP, and it wasn't anything to do with him. It was what God had entrusted unto him.
Now, folks, in TV programs, they live by sponsorship, by some company or some individual. I don't watch PBS much, but when I have, I always hear this statement. This program is made possible by such and such and such. Do you understand the Christian life is made possible by the mercy, grace, and goodness of God? But, folks, therein lies a problem. All of us, no one's exempt from this, no one in this room. We grew up liars, liars, pants on fire, hanging from a telephone wire. Remember Aunt Bertha? That lady that only came to your house once a year and brought the dumbest gifts to your house? Did anybody have that like I did? Yeah, and what did your parents always make you do? And it's a right thing. Tell Aunt Bertha thank you. Thank you, Aunt Bertha. How sincere and truthful. It was not. And you know what? We, as a child, we kind of get that insincerity happening thing going toward our Thanksgiving. And folks, I'm afraid we do the same thing toward the mercy, grace, and goodness of God. What I want to do tonight is go back to where we started on Sunday morning during the worship service. Remember the statement I gave you? You know, what we forget, we will not appreciate. What we fail to appreciate, we're going to fail to value. And what we fail to value, we will not give our lives to. I'd like to go to the second. I got four messages on that, but this is the one I think God would have tonight. What we forget, we do not appreciate. Now, maybe this is just selfish old Mike Maynard, but I hate it when I do something real sacrificial and I don't get, again, acknowledgement of that. I've been a thumb sucker along the way. I'll tell you that right now. I get crushed at times when people just go, oh, yeah, big deal, whoop-de-doo. You know, and all of us, you know, you give honor to whom honor's due. It's not a bad thing to do. Someone does a good job. Tell Pastor he was horrible on his farm. Whatever you need to do. And just, again, give an attaboy as an attaboy is needed. Now, some of you haven't got that for a while, so I'm here to help you people. What I want you to do is turn to someone next to you, pat them on the back, and say, attaboy. Do that right now, would you? Attaboy. Attaboy. Yeah. Now, don't you, sir, would you go back there and pat the sound guy on the back? I don't want to. Okay, get it afterwards. Just take care of it later. Okay. Oh, look. Mike's an obedient, submissive guy. There you go. Sit down, sir. We're having a service. Okay. But, folks, you know what? If we deserve any kind, any way, an attaboy, appreciation, thankfulness, honor to whom honor is due, how much more does God deserve that kind of acknowledgement for who He is, for what He has done on our behalf? We need to, folks, and here's my word, because this fixes a multitude of problems and sinful choosing. This will take you away from being a gum bumper, complainer, again, being negative in your ministry. Again, a disappointed, discouraged, unfaithful believer. This will fix a lot of things if you get in this kind of 24/7 habit. To have that true response of, Lord, I appreciate you. Would you say that with me? Lord, I appreciate you. Not because I tell you to, or even because you know it's right. Because you have recognized and responded rightly to a holy God that's before you, and you truly appreciate your God. The Bible, from the front to the back, is a testament of how great our God is. And when you become a student of Scripture, like you're supposed to, hint, 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 when you become a student of Scripture like God commands and expects you to, you will find He is worthy to be praised. And you won't have trouble with Psalm 35 and verse 28. You know what it says? We're here to praise God all the day long. Psalm 71:14 says, we're here to praise Him not less and less, but more and more. And three of my favorite verses in the Word of God. Psalm 145 verses 1 through 3 says this, I will extol Thee, my God, O King. I will bless Thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless Thee. I will praise Thy name forever and ever. Here we go. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable, people. Here's what I've learned in my blessed time in Christ Jesus. The more I spend time with Him, the more I get to know Him biblically, the more overwhelmed and abundant my praise is toward Him, and I truly respond with He's worthy to be praised. Is that because I've got a used car dealer gad-mouth personality people?
No, because I've got to know my Jesus as my Savior, but my Lord, my friend, my wherewithal, my all in all, and I realize I can do nothing apart from His intervening power and wherewithal in my heart and through my life, and you know what? I don't deserve it! But boy, I'm sure thankful, because great is my Lord, and greatly to be praised. Is that your testimony? Well, I'm kind of a quiet person. Well, get over yourself and praise God. Well, I'm kind of grumpy. Well, I'm sure that's a wonderful testimony for everybody to enjoy in your church and your house. No, folks, we're supposed to do it biblically as a new creature in Christ. And this stuff is not something you do when you feel like it or you finally get around to it. Don't just leave it to the wacko gourds who again give the outward hoop-de-do and whatevers. No, let's with substance, understanding who God is, help other people understand He's worthy to be praised. So what I want you to do is to turn to a certain passage where it shows our responsibility in the matter of praising God. And if you're saved, this one applies to you. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2, would you please? Go to 1 Peter chapter 2, specifically down to verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. And get a hold of this, friends and neighbors. What a wonderful command from a loving God. And this is not optional. This is God's will for your life as a believer. Now it starts out saying, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation." Look at this one. "A peculiar people." It doesn't say a bunch of nerds or weirdos, and there are plenty of those type of people in Christianity. No, be Christ-like, but faithful in your testimony to show forth Jesus. But here's the responsibility that we're talking about tonight. That ye, personal pronoun, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Folks, as believer priests, we have no need to shed the blood of animals. Now, maybe some of you like that. You're just a sick puppy. You'll kill anything and hang it from a tree. You're just kind of a Bambi killer, delightful, enjoyable, bloodletting person, okay? I don't go there. I just don't like that kind of thing. I'm glad we don't have to do that like they did in the Old Testament. And why don't we do that? Because Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God, was the final blood sacrifice. Don't you love Hebrews 10:10 where it says, "We are sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ once for all." And through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we are justified before God. And hear me loud and clear, nothing else will do. If you're planning on going to heaven for all eternity, it's because you have received the free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by Him. Your wife can't get you there. Your husband can't get you there. Mom and dad, this church, no one can get you in heaven for all eternity except the Lord Jesus Christ. And He died for you. And He's just waiting for you to open your life and receive Him as your personal Savior. So folks, I'm going to show you some more here about your responsibility. But again, here's the natural response of our flesh. How much do I have to do this? You know, this is hard for me. This really interrupts my focus and what I want to be and do. Well, that's a good thing. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 13. Go back toward the Old Testament and go to the book of Hebrews. Yeah, I'm going to go back just a book and a half here almost. Go back to Hebrews chapter 13. Let me show you how much God says you are to be faithful in the matter of praising Him. Here is the regulation of our praise. It's found down in verse 15 of chapter 13. It says, "By Him, Jesus, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God." How often, folks? What's the word? Well, help me, folks. What does continually mean? Like continually? Yeah, that's what it means. It's not real hard. It's just hard to get past your flesh and be faithful to this command of God because you're stuck on your heritage more than stuck on Christ. You're more consumed and controlled by your own personality instead of the person that saved your soul. You're again more consumed about what people think than honoring, obeying, and being used of God like you're saved to be used of God.
Folks, this is not hard to figure out God's will for your life in the matter of praise. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise unto God. Say with me again, folks. Continually. And that's what God expects. But folks, it's hard sometimes to get our emotions to line up with our theology. Isn't it? Isn't it? You know what? I told John from Colonial Hills Baptist Church, that's where I staffed Kansas for 21 years. And when they had that horrible bus crash, I had to get on my face and really adjust my emotions with my theology. When my niece was murdered, you know what? I had trouble in that continual practice of praise. When my baby brother died last summer, it was difficult again to get my focus off of poor Mike and believe that God makes no mistakes and still praise His holy, wonderful name. Folks, this is impossible in your flesh. But let me show you how you can be faithful. Continually pray. I don't care what the pressure is. I don't care how deep the heartache. You can be faithful only if you do it this way. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 5, a very familiar passage, hopefully. I use this with the teenagers and mention it pretty specifically. But Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18, 19, and 20, it really shows us it's only possible through the control of God in our lives. It says in verse 18, probably the one you know the most, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled or controlled with the Spirit." And then, what's the fruit or evidence of that submission? It says, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace and making melody in your heart of the Lord, giving thanks," when, folks? You know what I have in my Bible? I've got that circled. Because that's a trouble spot for me. I like to smack people sometimes, don't you? Especially, I'm not a guy of road rage, but I'd still like to slap a few people I run into on the road or would like to run into on the road. There's some real brain dead people out there that just again stir up my flesh to carnality. Not a Christ like "I love you in Jesus." No, I wish you were going on the road. Okay. It says giving thanks always for how many things, folks? I got this circle too. For all things, say it with me. All things. Why, folks? Unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, I'm telling you right now, you'll never adjust your emotions and your theology to match up to glorify God unless you allow God, even in the down times as well as the real good times, to be filled or controlled by Him so you can rightly praise our God. Psalm 51:15, David, who got himself in a major immoral mess, he says this when he gets right. "O Lord, open Thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth Thy praise." How did he get to that point, folks? He chose to lose, defile this lady, murder her husband, and really mess up his testimony as he represented his God. Because, folks, his eyes were opened. His mind was awakened to the wonder and working of Almighty God. He saw himself as a worthless sinner in the presence of a holy God. He finally came to the testimony that most Christians never get to. The position of, again, open yieldedness and brokenness before God, a broken and a contrite spirit. Folks, I'm going to say it again. I'll repeat probably more. The more you spend time with Him, the more you get to know Him through this blessed book, the more abundant, consistent, and continual your praise will be. Whether it's good times or bad, blessings or persecution, you will be a consistent, Spirit-filled praiser of our God. Wouldn't that be a fun church to be a part of? People coming in, "Oh, it's a great day of work. I've got to come on Wednesday night. All he's going to do is bore us to death with the Word of God." Well, you know what? I think the problem's your heart convinced you. And I think you're a little unfaithful, to say the least, in your responsibility given to God to offer praise to Him continually. Be thankful you got a job. Be thankful you got a church to go to as blessed as this. A blessed pastor, his wife, and his daughter, okay? You know, you got...
Well, I did that for you because you know I love you. Okay, I'll come to my later.
But you know what, folks? No matter what's going on, when you're Spirit-filled, you got the wherewithal through God to do it right. Whatever right you're supposed to be doing. I love the example. I used this, we were talking about this very thing last night, probably why I'm stirred up about this. You know what? You know, a testimony of doing right seems to be so rare in the midst of just stuff. Stuff that's not pleasant to be a part of. But don't you love the example of the Apostle Paul? He's locked in stocks. He probably had an orange jumpsuit, don't you think? 3 square meals a day in an air-conditioned little jail where they waited on him. And no, he's in a rat-infested, bacteria-filled place that's not real happy to be a part of. But boy, what a testimony. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 25, cast in prison, locked in stocks, it says, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And folks, here's the blessed part. What was the fruit of their faithfulness? The jailer gets saved. His family gets saved. Why? Because they didn't get angry. They didn't get bitter. They didn't have a pity poor me party because of what God allowed to be a part of life. And well, God's perfect. God's still an ever-present help. God makes no mistakes. God is great. And greatly to be praised. You think that would help your kids a bit more, teachers? Teachers can get grumpy too. Don't point, okay? Teachers can get grumpy too. So can a mom and dad. So can a pastor, you know. So can an evangelist. You know, folks, we're all prone to wander. And wander into self-pity is a place we like to go real often. You know, again, feeling sorry for ourselves and licking our own wounds. But folks, when you get your eyes on Him, there's hope. There's help. There's wherewithal of victory. Of getting through whatever God throws into your path to grow you up. And you can land, like we said, the way you're supposed to land. And that's to count it all joy and rejoice in the Lord, always. And again, I say what, folks? Rejoice. You know, Mike came over afterward, Bubba Hutt back there. You know, he came over to the house and we just had a great time of fellowship. And you know, we did the right thing. We got done with preaching. We sat over there and just enjoyed each other's fellowship. And we ate food. Didn't we, Mike? Yeah, it's a very normal thing to do. A man thing. And you know what? I'd forgotten. I think I knew that Mike's dad had passed away. And the way it happened. Yeah, it was a battle. It's still a battle today. But he's got to the point where now he can count it all joy. It wasn't real fun when it happened. Even for a couple years, it wasn't real fun and real hard to adjust your theology and your emotions. But folks, if you'll let God do it, He'll fix what's broken. So through His power, what only He can do, no matter what's going on, you can rejoice in the Lord always. Now, it doesn't say when you fall into temptations and trials. I mean, if, it's when, folks. It's just, that's just life. Death. Discouragement, illness, it all's going to come and it's going to reveal to you what kind of testimony you are for the glory and honor of God, and you're here to be a testimony of great is our God and greatly to be praised. And it's catching. Do you like being around a person who's a sad sack? You know, who's just a moper and a complainer? No, so don't be that kind of person. How joyous is it to be around a guy who praises God and really means it? I'm not talking about, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a guy walking close to the heart of God, revealed in understanding who God is because he does it God's way. And he has a working reality. The great is my God. And greatly to be praised. I love this verse. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Psalm 34:3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. But folks, this is kind of easy for me to figure out. But have you worked this out yet in your family, in your home, in your place of employment? It's hard to encourage others to be faithful in this area if you're not that way yourself. Am I missing something here? Is there part of the equation I just don't understand? No, you're looking to you instead of looking unto Jesus. That's why it's not working the way it's supposed to be working. So not optional. Not a maybe or an if. No, you have the responsibility of praise unto your God. How much am I supposed to do this? You're here to in everything give thanks. To offer praise. Sacrificial praise, people. To our God continually. So that leads us to the most obvious question, your response in the matter of praising the Lord. Are you a person of praise? And if not, be honest enough to let God show you, and you probably already know, why not? Now, I've got some pondering questions for you to kind of think through that might help you get your process of elimination and acceptance working in your life. But how about this one? Could it be that you don't really know Him? I'm saved. Yeah, you know Him as Savior, but you still don't know how great He is. Because you're still thinking more of yourself than you ought. Because that's what you spend your whole time and schedule, again, revolving around. You haven't come to the conclusion you're a worthless sinner deserving hell for all eternity, and apart from Jesus, you can do nothing. But folks, it's a problem we all have. We all think more of ourselves than we are. But see, I meet them all the time. I meet Christians who think God is here, and they're kind of like here. Let me give you the reality check, folks. Here's God. You're not even in the picture. Y'all with me? I don't care how small you're smarter than anybody else in the church. Big hoop-de-doo. You're still not as smart as my God. Oh, you may be a wonderment to the, again, cause of Christ, but it's all because of Jesus and nothing to do with you. Other than you're smart enough to yield to Him and let Him do in your heart through your life what only He can do. But folks, why don't you praise Him? You growl continually. You complain all the time. Nothing seems to make you happy, happy, happy and rejoicing. Could it be you don't know Him well enough? You don't spend enough time with Him to again understand how great your God is. I think that's a big problem, not just with the teens, but all of us in Christ. Secondly, maybe it's because you have a distorted opinion or picture of self. That kind of goes right along with it, doesn't it? You do think more of yourself than you ought. And you think that if God would let you, you could straighten even Him out. Have you met those kind of, no point if they're in the room, but have you met those kind of people before? I've met some preachers that way, and I've met way too many evangelists that are that way. I hate evangelists. I'll tell you that right now. They just drive me crazy. But you know what, folks? We all have that problem of going, I'm so great. I'm so special. Humble as I can be. I've got to sing that for you teens. That's just a fun song. But we kind of get there, folks, and that's why we end up in the messes we get into. Of, again, circumstances that don't have to be because we love ourselves way too much. Number three, you refuse to be controlled by the Spirit of God. Now, I know people this way, and so do you, that won't even let... They can't work for anybody. They have trouble in a church submitting to an imperfect pastor, but they even have trouble submitting to a perfect God. You are, again, in deep trouble as far as your success and faithfulness to any aspect of the will of God. Because, again, the only way it works is through the wherewithal of Jesus, controlled by the Spirit of God. And this is probably the saddest question of all. Maybe it's because you're not truly saved. You know, he that continually practices sin is not God. We talked about that. You have no drive, no desire, no goals, no objectives of doing anything faithful for God. But if anybody asks, well, I'll say, well, prove it. Prove it by a life of faithfulness. Prove it by Him what will really come forth from your life when you know Him intimately, personally as your Savior. And one of those things will be praise unto God continually. And that's not you. Because you've never truly accepted Christ as your Savior. Teenager, are you sure? Adults, do you really know that you know that if you died right now, you'd be absent from the body and present with the Lord? Something's missing that's keeping you from praising God as He deserves to be praised. Could it be that you don't know my Jesus as your Savior? You know what, people? I think that's a big problem, even in fundamental Bible-believing churches just like this. So let's say you're still a doubting Thomas. You're rather argumentative in your perspective of whoever teaches you. Let me get you fixed, old Tom. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 150. Now, this is the greatest assignment. I give this for everybody here. I want you somewhere, sometime in the next day or so, I want you to read the last five Psalms. I want you to read the last five Psalms. Each of these Psalms start with what? Praise ye the Lord. What did they end with? Praise ye the Lord. Oh my, that sounds convicting. Well, it's supposed to be. Go with me to Psalm 150. It's real short. I'm going to read the whole thing. But it starts like this. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His firmament of power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. And here's what we see in that psalm, praise Him, praise Him. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. You know what that means in Maynard terminology? It's gooder than good. Isn't that good? That'll help you. Look down at verse 3. Now, folks, let me say something. A lot of people praise God like this. You know this praise stuff is a loud thing? How do I know that? Read what comes next. It's, let me help you out. Some of you are already going, oh, no, Brother Mary, he's going to carry the man. He's going to be speaking in tongues and doing backflips in the pulpit. No, I'm just trying to help you understand, folks. You have, again, regulated according to your personality or what you're comfortable with instead of doing it in a biblical way to use praise, what praise should be used for, and that's to impact the world that's around you. Y'all with me? It is something that needs to not just be known or whispered from your life, but again, impacting people around you, knowing God is great and unashamedly, greatly to be praised. Look at this, folks. How can they not have instruments in churches? I'll never understand that biblically. Look what it says. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Trumpet people, do you love them? Okay, there you go. It says, praise Him with the sound of the trumpet, praise Him with the psaltery and harp, praise Him with the timbrel and dance. And can I tell you, that's not funky chicken for Jesus. How He's so dirtied up our God when just jubilation is what we're dealing with here, not funky chicken or something. It says, praise Him with the stringed instruments and organs, praise Him upon the loud cymbals, praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. And look at this, people. Let everything that hath breath, take a breath, folks. Let her out. Wow, that was overpowering. Someone had onions on it. Yeah. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And finish it with me, folks. Ready? Praise ye the Lord. So let's read that last verse together. And please understand, this is not just for loudmouth Mike Maynard. Or used car dealer personality in the church, or only people that don't live in New England. You ready? You know what I'm talking about. Look down at verse 6. Here we go. Let's say it together. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Folks, it's not optional. But even if it was, shouldn't you want to do it anyway? As you get to know God, He came to die for you. He ever lives on your behalf. He never orders up anything that He won't give you the wherewithal to be faithful, to bring glory and honor to His name. He wants to bring to you as a reality joy, peace, and contentment, and you bypass praising Him and exalting His name. Maybe it's because you need to come to this altar tonight and commit to get to know Him like He's wanting and deserves to be known. You quit reading your Bible. You're not studying the Word of God. You just wait till Pastor gives it on a silver platter and kind of spoon feeds it instead of digging into the treasures of wisdom and knowledge and enriching your life. You don't praise Him. You may know Him as Savior. You don't know Him as He needs to be known that will lead you to faithfulness in the matter of praising our God. Maybe it's because you still think way more of yourself than you are. Oh, you'll give the stats of your daily operation. That's all you ever talk about. But shouldn't the main conversation, tip of the tongue, whatever you talk about, shouldn't that really be about how great and good your God truly is? Is there anything that really compares? Maybe you don't praise Him because, again, you refuse to be controlled by the power and wherewithal of God. And folks, that's a major 24/7 problem for all of us. But please, tonight, if you don't know that Jesus is your Savior, you understand that's why God brought you here? He wants you to leave here not guessing or hoping or saying maybe. He wants you to leave here knowing that you know that Jesus is your Savior.
then your eyes will be open. Your eyes will be awakened in understanding that great is our God and greatly to be praised. Oh, folks, let's make a right commitment. Let's be faithful to offer the sacrifice of praise to God. What's that word again, folks? Continually. Would you bow your heads and hearts, please? Folks, you may be thinking nobody knows my troubles.